Right, my friends, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm Scott Horton. My website is weekendinterviewshow.com. I keep all the archives in MP3 format there for you. Also, I write for antiwar.com. Just go antiwar.com/Horton, like Horton, here's a who, and you can read my articles. We have two guests this hour. First of all, Debbie Hopper is the co-founder of MothersAgainstTheDraft.org and also of the National Coalition to Restore the Constitution. Scott Kohlhaas is from DraftResistance.org and is the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Alaska. Welcome to the show to both of you.
Thank you, Scott.
It's great to have you guys on here, and we're here to talk about probably what should be at least the most important thing to anyone in the audience who have children, and that is the possibility that the national government may conscript them and send them off to fight in a war. And both of you have organizations dedicated to resisting that idea. Debbie, let's start with you. Can you tell me a little bit about Mothers Against the Draft and who you guys are and how you came about?
Mothers Against the Draft officially started February 14th. We really are a group of moms from the left, the right, and everywhere in between who have all come to be very concerned about the threat of a new draft. So we've got supporters all around the country in every state, and we're growing every month because every day we're seeing new reports in the paper about how serious this recruiting problem is and the implications for our children. I think Scott's been around a little bit longer than we have, though.
Well, perhaps. Yes, I mean, our roots go back to Paul Jacob and his resistance in the early 80s. Paul was one of the 12 people they put in prison for refusing to register when Jimmy Carter first instituted the program, and then Ronald Reagan came in and kept it. And we've been trying since then to bring down the selective slavery system. It's true, 25 years now.
Right.
Is that fair for you to call it selective slavery, Scott? I mean, after all, we're talking about serving our country.
Well, you can argue that it's good for the country if you want. You can argue that that people should have this rite of passage and go through the military, and there's all sorts of arguments. But you cannot argue that it's involuntary servitude, and thus it's slavery and outlawed by the 13th Amendment. But even without the Constitution, your natural right is that you have the right to live in whatever manner you wish as long as you don't infringe on someone else's right to do the same. So, yeah, we call the draft slavery. And, of course, the Selective Service System is the federal agency that would implement a draft, and so we call them the Selective Slavery System.
Debbie, does the group MAD, is that your stand on conscription also, that the answer is never, never, never?
Never, 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 for exactly the same reasons. The federal government absolutely has no authority to conscript American citizens, and it never has.
Yes, that's good to hear. Can I say a couple things, Scott?
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if people understand how important Mothers Against the Draft is, or they are. 25 years ago, the Selective Slavery System did a study. They hired an independent company called Yankelevich, Skelly, and White, because they were trying to figure out why people were registering and why they weren't. And the one thing, of course, that's when they labeled us anti-war intellectuals, because we made the direct link between registration, the draft, and aggressive war. And we see that, we saw that right away. But the reason, the number one reason they found out why young people were registering was parental pressure. You see, and that's crucial, because the Vietnam War draft was viewed as, quote-unquote, unfair. You know, it was a system where there were deferments and people could get out for this or that, and now we're finding out that, of course, the leaders of our country had different ways of getting out.
All right, hold it right there, Scott. Hold it right there, bud. We got to go out to this break. It's a Weekend Interview Show. We're talking conscription. My friends, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm Scott Horton, and I'm talking with Scott Kohlhaas from the Libertarian Party of Alaska, the founder of DraftResistance.org, and Debbie Hopper. She's a co-founder of MothersAgainstTheDraft.org. Mothers Against the Draft, whose website is MothersAgainstTheDraft.org. Now, Scott, when we were going out to break, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there, you were discussing parental pressure and the selective service system, and I just want to say real fast that I signed up when I turned 18, and the reason I did is because my parents said, hey, you got to, and I went, oh, okay, I did. But
exactly.
Any of my friends, if their parents were hippies and said, ah, you don't have to sign that, throw that away, and they didn't, you know, I'm sure they didn't. And it really does come down to whether your mom thinks you should sign it or not, doesn't it?
It's confirmation of the report that was commissioned by the Selective Service System that said that parental pressure was the number one reason why young people were registering. And so Mothers Against the Draft is crucial in the struggle against the draft, because if the sons of the Mothers Against the Draft don't go when the draft comes, then the system will break down, because it has to be viewed as fair. It'll never be fair, but it has to be viewed that way. And if Debbie's son doesn't go, then that means other sons won't go. And again, the selective slavery system will be helpless. Now, our strategy is non-registration. We want people to refuse to register right up front. We don't want to play the game. Just bring them down by having enough people refuse. It's civil disobedience. But Mothers Against the Draft has so much more potential to see the system break down. So I'm very pleased to see them up and going, and I'm very proud of their work.
Debbie.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I tell you what, we need you on our side, Scott. You are far more knowledgeable than I am.
Well,
but I'm a concerned mom. I have three children who are draft age, and just last week, a reserve recruiter was actually at my door. I mean, they've called for years. And I tell them over my dead body, will they get my son?
Well, careful, don't
tempt him. Front door to talk to him.
I recently saw an article where the recruiters are running into what we've known all along, and that is the battleground is with the parents.
That's right.
The parents, in many cases, will decide what will happen. And so and you're right, there is a crisis in recruiting right now, and anybody with any kind of vision could see around the corner a draft coming. So, it's all coming together. Now, there was recently a Gallup poll, I think it was Gallup, they showed that 85% of the American public is against the draft. And, of course, we're of the opinion that even if those numbers were reversed and 85% were in favor of the draft would still never come to America because we won't allow it. But because 15% of resistance is enough to bring down any law, really. So, but, again, there are these recruiting problems. They're going to get ever more aggressive. And then, of course, when there's nothing left, in fact, one of the recruiters said, you know, we've got to get more aggressive. We don't know what to do. And we were saying, well, how about stopping the aggressive wars that you're conducting? Maybe that might ease the pressure. And remember now, these goals that they have are all based on a foreign policy where they need like two-thirds more soldiers than we'd normally need to protect the United States.
Right. We already have a million-man army.
That's right.
And more than enough to protect our own borders.
Right. And these guys, when they say they're not meeting their goals, they say, in effect, they're saying they're not meeting their goals for a worldwide struggle to, I don't know, whatever they're up to. They're going into every country they possibly can. I guess Iran is next, maybe North Korea, and then ultimately China. But still, they can only go as far as the manpower will allow them, and the manpower is running out.
Right. That's the beauty of the all-volunteer system.
Yes,
it's not broken. I mean, the fact that they're not getting enough people to volunteer is not a sign that the voluntary system is broken. It's a sign that it works.
Yes,
the
exactly.
American people don't support this war, and therefore their sons and daughters are not going. So that's what they ought to be paying attention to.
It could be pointed out that if any of these wars were legitimate, that people would go ahead and sign up. You know, that say, I don't know, the Spanish Armada was headed across the ocean and they were going to land on the beach in South Carolina and conquer North America. We'd all meet them with our rifles. We'd protect our country from foreign invasion.
That's right. I would be ashamed of my son if America was actually being attacked, if he didn't stand and defend his family and our homeland. I would be ashamed of him if that was the case. But that's not what's going on here.
Now, Scott brought up something kind of set the hairs on the back of my neck on end before he kind of referred to fairness in conscription.
There's nothing fair about conscription.
Well, there could be as long as everybody's equally enslaved. Of course, except the ones doing the enslaving, of course, there's nothing equal about that. But I'm reminded of the fact that in the 1970s, the last time that there was a mandatory draft, that women were excluded. But it seems to me like the civil rights cases that have been defined in between then and now would basically require, in fairness, for the government to go ahead and draft girls just as much as boys.
Sure. Isn't that what Phyllis Schlafly and the Equal Rights Amendment was partially about, was concern that should that amendment pass, that women would be drafted as well.
And not just an interesting point right there, that if you go to mothersagainstthedraft.org and you hit on, I guess it's the endorsements button or something, the number one name up there is Phyllis Schlafly. And all the rest of the people, almost entirely the list of your endorsements, are all conservatives and libertarians, aren't they?
Pretty much so, yeah. Although the people on the right seem to think that we're leftist DNC mouthpieces and, the people...
Well, the Eagle Forum has always been a mouthpiece for the DNC, right?
Right. That's right.
Well, I'd like to make one point about the all-volunteer force, and of course, we support the all-volunteer force. It's difficult to support the troops when they're over in another country doing these terrible, terrible things. And to me, it's like waving the swastika and saying, I'm opposed to Hitler and his policies, but we've got to support those SS troops in Poland. They're our boys, No, you have to draw the line at some point. But the way I think we're going to beat this war, that we're going to stop this war, is we can't stop an all-volunteer force from taking orders from this president and going out and doing these things. But when they come back for your son, Debbie, and your sons and others, then that's where we can ambush them. That's when they're going to use the selective slavery system, and that's where the whole thing could break down. And then they won't be able to conduct the war anymore, and they'll have to pull back.
Well, now, this is Charlie Rangel's idea for having a draft, is we ought to go ahead and hurry up and institute a draft as soon as possible, because then when the rich white kids are forced to join, then the rich white kids' parents will finally put pressure on the government to stop the warfare.
That's insane. If he thinks that the draft is a good thing and that somehow the draft will end this war, I mean, this is a school of thought among some people that somehow if we draft everyone, and that's what the Selective Service will do this time. Anybody out there who's thinking they can register and then, I can register because they'll never take me, I'm the only son, or I've got asthma or whatever. No. Everybody's going this time to give it the appearance of fair, and they'll find a job for you in the interest of the state. So, but when they come back for it, that's our chance to stop this war. And so we're preparing for the ambush.
My greatest concern is we know that most Americans are opposed to a draft. But I think what we're really going to wind up seeing is they're going to do a little play on words, and they're not going to call it a draft. We're going to go back to this mandatory national service thing. And they're going to keep some kind of a semblance of choice, meaning that young Americans will choose whether or not they serve in AmeriCorps or the Peace Corps, or the Citizens Corps in the military.
I just send in shivers at my spine, Debbie, because when AmeriCorps was first formed back in the mid-90s, we were very afraid because we saw them as the future alternative service programs.
Right.
Selective service by law has to put conscientious objectors into. Any student of conscription, ears would perk up when they hear the term national service.
Right.
Because, of course, that's what the draft is called in a lot of other countries. And so, but I did want to get back to the women part because I'm torn on this one. I don't want to see the pool of slaves increased in any way, shape, or form. I don't think we should draft women if we're going to draft men. But I remember how disappointed I was in the ACLU in 1981. They tried to stop the draft registration. It was Rosker versus Goldberg, by claiming it was unfair because women weren't included. And I thought at the time, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I don't want to draft with women and men or anything of the sort. But now Alaska has a law where if you take the permanent fund, I don't take it, but some people take this permanent fund from the government. In a lot of states, they're linking it to driver's licenses. Now, when I say it, I mean registration. But up here, when you take your permanent fund, they automatically register you with the Selective Service system, and about 94% of the people take it up here. So it's devastating, and we're considering suing. We have to get rid of this law somehow. So we're considering suing because the Alaska Constitution guarantees equality, and it's not fair to put a special burden on men as opposed to women. It's clearly unfair. And so,
or on 18 to 24 year olds as opposed to, you know, 40 to 50 year olds.
Thank you. That's true. And yet our Constitution up here doesn't really guarantee any kind of equality between the ages, you know, but it does between the sexes. And so I would definitely use that as a tool, not to say, okay, well, then you have to include women, but to exclude everyone.
That sounds good. You know, I looked at the news headlines this morning up on antiwar.com, and there's a headline from USA Today says the pace of troop deaths is increasing rapidly. The last 2 months have been two of the most deadly for Iraqis and for American forces in that war. And Stars and Stripes had an article this morning that said already as many deserters this year, just halfway through the year, as there were last fiscal year. But then they decided, oh, whoops, they messed up the numbers. And what they actually meant to say was it's really about on course for last year. And about on course, that is 2,723 deserters in fiscal 2004. So far, 1,432 this year. And Godspeed to them. I hope he gives them wings and helps them hide. I interviewed Carl Webb on this show, who they attempted to stop loss from the Texas State Guard and force back into military service and send him off to Iraq. And he's hiding out. You can read his story at carlwebb.net. I'm talking with Debbie Hopper from Mothers Against the Draft and Scott Kohlhaas, from draftresistance.org. And we'll be right back. My friends, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm Scott Horton, and I'm talking with Debbie Hopper from MothersAgainstTheDraft.org and Scott Kohlhaas, chairman of the Alaska Libertarian Party and director of DraftResistance.org. And we're up against this problem where we can't politically have a draft. Absolutely not. As Scott pointed out, 85% super-duper majority, absolutely opposed, no way, and yet we have to. Our military has far more obligations than they have resources at this point. And so we're really, our military at least, is really caught between a rock and a hard place, and that has many people fearing that perhaps we're going to have conscription again. And I wanted to ask Debbie real quick about Operation Opt Out. You have this this program whereby people can opt out of the program where the national government is collecting all their information in order to try to recruit them later on. And you guys have this this thing on your website called Operation Opt Out for people to download the forms that they can fill out and send in that basically say, leave my kid the hell alone.
Right.
Question, and you can feel free, please, to go ahead and describe exactly what that program is about and how people can look it up and all that, too. But my question really is, if we're actively discouraging voluntary service in the military, then are we in a way perhaps making the day come sooner where we're going to have conscription?
Well, I think that's exactly what the government's arguing, that is the case. Rather than, as Scott suggests, them taking a look at our interventionist foreign policy and considering changing that, because our volunteer force is working quite well, instead, they're going to wind up drafting our children. But what do we do? Tell our children it's okay? It's not okay.
Still got to do the right thing anyway, huh?
Pardon me?
Still got to do the right thing anyway, even
if
it leads to...
That's right. I mean, the problem is not with the volunteer force. The problem is what our government is doing to abuse our military. They're no longer being used to defend the United States of America. They're being used for other purposes. That's the problem.
Okay, now tell us all about opt out. What do people have to do in order to what exactly are these forms and how do they get them?
Well, at this point in time, we're aware of two ways that they can work to protect their child. No Child Left Behind has a provision in it that gives military recruiters access to their students' information, name, address, phone number, and that is gotten by recruiters by simply requesting it from the local school district. So it's not a centralized database. Recruiters can go into the school, ask for the list, and any parent, any child who has not been opted out by their parent or by themselves, if they're of majority age, is on that list. And so that's where the recruiters call from, is that particular list. So there's an opt-out form on our website that is given to your school administrator. So they can download a form on the website, fill it out, and submit it to their school administrator. They have their child's name removed from that list that's given to the local recruiters.
Now, there's something else up there about a Jammer database. What's that?
Yeah, that is a database that we just found out about last week, actually. The government has been compiling a massive database of young Americans between the ages of 16 and 25 years old. There's over 30 million young people's information that's in that database right now, and they absolutely have violated the law in even compiling that database. The Privacy Act requires that the government give notice in the Federal Register before they collect any new records on citizens, and they didn't do that. So it's been in existence, and it's used for 3 years. But we did find out that there is a way that folks can opt their children or themselves off of that list as well. Now, their name, their information really isn't removed from that database, however. It's suppressed so that it's not given to the military, who then gives it to the local recruiters. But the opt-out form for the Jammers database is on our website as well.
And, in fact, you can just go to mothersagainstthedraft.org, and there's a big button
on the
right
side
there.
That's
that
right.
Says
opt-out right.
Your kids.
That's right.
Now, this Jammer recruiting database, I thought, oh, cool, a Jammer. Yeah, okay. No, here's what Jammer stands for. Joint Advertising and Market Research Recruiting Database. So that means, I guess, what kind of candy bar should we give the kids before we ask them to sign the paper?
That's exactly right. They've contracted with a private marketing company to compile this list for them. And they're specifically going after, you know, young people who are draft age. It includes all kinds of information, their Social Security number, their grade point average, their areas of study. I think what we're looking at is the beginnings of a database that's going to catalog all Americans. And I don't know if you recall that not too terribly long ago, the Selective Service was recommending that as far as the changes that they'd like to see, that all young Americans would report every year new skills that they've acquired so that the military could target to fill specific needs that it has. And I think what you're seeing with the Jammers database is the beginning of that.
See, I think all this is fine, just as long as we don't call it the United States of America anymore. Okay? That's cool. Just go ahead and create a total state, but let's just call it the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics in America.
Yeah.
And be honest about what we're doing. Everyone, report your new skills to the Politburo so they can decide where to place you in
That's
your
right.
new military career.
That's right.
You know, Scott, this No Child Left Behind Act represents a dangerous expansion of the information sharing with the military. But if anybody reads the Selective Service registration form, they'll see that the Selective Service has been forwarding names to the military recruiters ever since the program started. Now, sure, it's just men between 18 and 20, and now it's men and women 16 and up. So it is a dangerous expansion. And in the back of my mind, because there's been no draft for the last 25 years, oh, actually 34 years, but no draft since they started registration, in the back of my mind I thought, wow, maybe this Selective Service registration is just some kind of vicious recruiting tool that the military uses. They go around threatening young people.
Oh, no. Oh, no. They're waiting to enslave you with it. We'll be right back. All right, my friends, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm Scott Horton, and there's an idea floating around the studio up here, and maybe we should all get draft forms or Selective Service cards, and we should just fill them out with fake information, and just mail one or two a week, you know, all of us, and eventually they'll have a database full of so much false information that they have to tear the whole thing down and start over again.
Well, there's that, and that might be one of the reasons why North Dakota is listed with like 107% compliance. But what I would ask you to do is just grab the forms and trash them. You know, don't even worry about it. Because what Selective Service will do is they'll claim, we've got all these registrations, everybody's for it, let's go.
Right.
But one thing I wanted, you were talking earlier about desertion, Scott, and desertion at this point is definitely justified and absolutely necessary to resist this aggressive war.
Absolutely.
But what I want to tell people, our strategy on draftresistance.org is to convince people to refuse to register, because it is the law to register. It's a wrong law, you know, but it is the law. But it's also going to be the law to go. And people say, well, I'll register, but I'd never go. Well, it'll be the law to go, and it'll be the law to pull the trigger when you get there. So instead of waiting, believe me, it's a lot easier to refuse to register and hope everybody else follows suit than to register and then have to get out of the draft and or be drafted, but then, you know, go and have to pull the trigger. So just don't play the game from the very beginning. It's a lot easier.
But, Mr. Kohlhaas, I've already filled out my paperwork. How do I unregister?
Well, you can go to draftresistance.org, and we basically tell you move. Just move and don't leave a forwarding address. Selective Service is counting on parents to forward the draft notices in many, many cases. So this is another reason why Mothers Against the Draft is such a crucial organization. Selective Service is counting on these parents. But and in a lot of states, I think they're up to 35 now, they will register you automatically when you get a driver's license.
Right.
So I would advise going to SSS.gov and checking out the states where they have this program and moving to a state like California that doesn't, if that's what it takes to keep yourself out of the hands of this evil organization, the Selective Service System.
Now, Donald Rumsfeld and George Bush have both said repeatedly, and I think probably honestly, that they don't want a draft. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they won't get us into a situation where they think they need one. Lord knows both of them are willing for that. But Donald Rumsfeld, in fact, kind of went into a whole little explanation and said, well, the American military is a big barrel, and right now the spigot is up at the top, and yeah, we're running kind of low, but all we got to do is move the spigot lower on the barrel. We still got plenty of troops. It's just a matter of reshuffling them from other places if we do need them. And as Bush said in his failure of a speech Tuesday night, there are no plans to increase numbers of troops in Iraq, at least not anytime soon. So, yeah, maybe we're all just barking at the moon here, and this isn't really that big of a deal.
Yeah, well, first of all, these guys cannot be trusted. We all know that. I mean, America has become totally cynical. We know they're lying because their lips are moving. And how can they possibly say we don't need a draft when every move they make practically ensures a draft? Sure, they may not put more troops in Iraq, but then if they go into Syria or Iran, it's a whole different story. Or if the resistance becomes more sophisticated in Iraq and a few more hundred Americans die at a time, or then all of a sudden the situation has changed, then they may try it. They may try it, but they'll fail miserably.
What do you think, Debbie? Is this not just an internet rumor?
Oh, it's not an internet rumor. No, I mean, you can go to our website. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of articles archived. I challenge anybody just to read the intro to the articles that are on our front page of our website and tell me that there's not a significant problem here. They have a very serious manpower problem. It's not just us that are saying it. It's generals who are telling us that the military is overstretched. It's on the verge of breaking. This is not our imagination. It's not a rumor.
I'm looking at the headlines right now. Old soldiers back on duty. McCain and Biden, of course, call for more troops in Iraq.
Now, isn't that interesting? We have a lot of congressmen calling for more troops in Iraq, and if we can't get enough to volunteer right now for the troop levels that we currently have, how are they going to add 100 or 500,000 more like these guys are calling for?
Well, and this just shows where we are politically in this country, where McCain and Biden, who both want to be president, think that the best way to get out ahead of the pack is to demand an increase in troops in Iraq.
And they're both supporters of national service programs.
Interesting about that national service. In the 1990s, the AmeriCorps was regarded by conservatives everywhere as at least socialism, at least, you know, the beginnings of a march into a collectivist state here. And
not seen that way by conservatives any longer. Bush is increasing the funding for it.
That's right. It's called the Freedom Corps now, and right-wingers love it.
That's right.
Do you know that this is one of Ron Paul's greatest victories that a lot of people don't know about? In the mid-90s, Selective Service was, you know, the Cold War was over, and they were exposed, and they had to find some kind of shell to hide under, and so they were looking for people to work with, and they tried to hook up with AmeriCorps to exchange lists and all. And Ron Paul sponsored legislation that flew through the House and Senate that barred that because, of course, the reason, I mean, it's all against all the laws they've had before. The law has never stopped Selective Service from doing what they have to do. I mean, it used to be the law that you had to go down to the post office to register, but they'd take a registration any way they could get it. But Ron Paul, one of his greatest victories was to block that and to isolate Selective Service. But and even though legislation passed the House in 99 to get rid of Selective Service, the Senate did not concur. And so we're still faced with this registration, but
and there's legislation that Ron Paul introduced on May 18th to repeal the Selective Service Act. I mean, I encourage people to call their congressman and tell them that they want him to support Ron Paul's legislation.
Excellent. Yes, he's a big hero.
Yep. Something that we haven't taken into account here, folks, is the possibility of another terrorist attack. And as we learned on September 11th, everything changed. And if there's another major attack in the United States, then, you know, really we're starting over on a blank page. And there's really no telling what could happen. On one hand, the American people could say, you mean after all this warfare and all these dead people, this president has failed again to stop an attack and turn against the current administration? Or we could have the same thing that happened after September 11th, where everybody falls right in lockstep and ties a yellow ribbon around their neck and says, you know, basically make it shameful to not support the troops. You know, patriotism is love of government and all that kind of thing. And on one hand, you know, I kind of have the idea that the scorn that was put on the draft dodgers in the Vietnam War, probably if they were to do a draft now in present circumstances, people probably wouldn't hold it against the draft dodgers. I think people are probably less prone to the idea that, oh, well, if one person's drafted, then you have to go too, or it's not fair. And, you know, I don't think people would really go for that unless something else blows up. And then we have, you know, basically September 11th all over again. We got a clean slate for the Bush administration to start all over.
Well, isn't that what the Project for the New American Century has been saying all along? You know, what we need is these new Pearl Harbors, and then the American people are ready for things that they never would have agreed to before.
That's right.
I mean, fear is a very powerful motivator for people.
And the government is doing everything. They've murdered, what, 100,000 Iraqis?
According to Johns Hopkins University.
They're doing everything they can to practically ensure another attack.
That's right.
By just absolute arrogance, going into these countries preemptively, you don't kill 10,000 innocent Afghan people or Afghanis because of the acts of 30 or 40 individuals. You get Interpol, you work with them, and if they're guilty of a crime, you take care of it. But you don't go in and slaughter thousands of innocent people, because they're just going to have all kinds of people coming back and hating us, and it almost ensures another attack, and it just escalates and escalates. But I really believe Bush and Rumsfeld will go as far as they can go until they just, you know, run out of gas. I think they really will go into these other countries.
Well, I think Rumsfeld's doing quite a lot to privatize war. I mean, how many contractors do we have over in Iraq taking the place of what would have been soldiers before?
That's true. It's scary.
Yeah, it is. It's very scary.
138,000 does not reflect our commitment.
No, it does not. Or the number of Americans that have been killed over there.
That's right. And again, that, you know, to be brutally honest, that doesn't concern me as much as the innocents that we've murdered.
Right.
Because it's so many more. And, of course, you know, I'm an animal lover, and I live here in Anchorage, and Elmendorf Air Force Base is right next door, and they fly over with their jets, and my cat runs under the bed, and I just think, well, I guess this roar, you know, some libertarians, to be honest, think it's the sound of freedom, but more of us recognize it as the thunder of fascism. But either way, I know it's the last sound that is heard by an Iraqi citizen or an Iraqi child or an animal over there before it's obliterated. So I get upset about the aggression.
Debbie, talk to me about the Guard and the Reserve units. What percentage of them are, you know, roughly speaking, how many of American Reserve units and Guard units are in Iraq, and what are they supposed to be doing instead?
Well, I wish I could tell you that number. I can certainly look it up on the website, but I'm a old lady, you know, losing her memory.
Well, I know it's plenty. I saw a headline about the Iowa Guard being sent over to Iraq just the other day.
Yeah, I don't know what those numbers are, but certainly, you know, as far as the Constitution is concerned, you know, if those are to equate to our state militias, then they certainly don't have any business fighting on foreign soil. So
I remember this picture I saw where they had this sign in the front window of one of the army trucks over in Iraq, a National Guard army truck that said, two weeks to eat your my ass.
Right. Yeah, these are the guys who are supposed to be around when there's a mudslide in California or, you know, a hurricane in Florida. These are the guys who are supposed to be tossing sandbags. They're not supposed to be soldiers fighting foreign wars, my best understanding.
Did you read the article where the National Guard is now partnering up with Labor Ready to get recruits?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, right? Well, it's just a temporary job. We'll send you over there until you're dead.
It's that one really got me. I thought, now, if that's not a sign of desperation, I don't know what is.
There's a lot of pressure on them right now. You've seen the articles about the divorce rates just skyrocketing.
Suicide rates amongst recruiters, extremely high.
Of course, and this is something that I think conservatives really need to think about when, you know, there's this whole aura of morality surrounding the warfare state, when in fact there's nothing worse for the moral values of a society than engaging in a permanent state of war.
Right.
You have wives left at home who, of course, are tempted and cheat. You have soldiers overseas who, you know, at least when they're on break in Germany, you know, get to go out with the prostitutes. You have rampant alcoholism, drug abuse, as you said, suicides. You've had, I don't know how many, probably at least half a dozen soldiers, more than that probably, who have come home and murdered their wives. At least four of them at Fort Bragg alone.
Yep.
You have, this is a tremendous challenge to our moral culture. It doesn't accentuate it.
You know, when you talk about culture, it's funny how we could have shows like MASH for just years and years. It's still running in some areas, and all sorts of anti-war material out there, and somehow it was still easy enough to march us right into the abyss. There's definitely something wrong with this country, and in my opinion, with the two major parties, and we've got to make some changes, because in spite of the way the majority feels, these guys are able to manipulate the system and murder, and it's got to stop.
Well, I agree with you. Our focus is on doing that very thing. There's not a congressman in this country that wants 100 mothers like me in his district mad at him and spreading our discontent to other mothers and grandmothers, particularly if we conduct ourselves like mothers and grandmothers. We have got to make this the issue for the upcoming election. So we're looking for moms all across the country. If you are interested in joining with us to protect our children from this, I assure you that your congressman is afraid of you. You are his worst nightmare. Please go to our website, www.mothersagainstdraft.org. Sign up. You'll find it where it says state chapter. Let us know that you're there, so that we can organize with other mothers in your district, and you can rein in your own congressman and make sure that he won't be one of the ones who will vote to conscript your kids.
Now, Debbie, is there any way that someone could contribute to Mothers Against the Draft?
Of course, and we would definitely appreciate that, because my wallet's not very fat.
You're stealing my thunder, Scott.
Well, I want to make sure these ladies and their organization succeed, because, again, it's just I'm on my knees thanking them for what they're doing. It's so crucial. And if you don't think Selective Service takes notice of that, you're wrong. But, I mean, they always come out and lie. They're big liars. They say, we have no plans for a draft. That is a lie. They spend every day planning for the draft. They're planning to draft doctors, linguists, computer specialists. They're planning all this. So for them to come out and say there are no plans for a draft, BS. So,
they're making these very recommendations to the Pentagon about the skills draft and whatnot. So it's not that they're just standing ready in case the nation needs it. They are actively figuring out who they're going to draft.
Okay, now on the donation question, I'm looking at mothersagainstthedraft.org right now, and there's a button up at the top that says what you can do. And if I click on that and I page down here at the bottom, it says there's a link to support Mothers Against the Draft.
You can find it on our homepage, too, on the right-hand column, just below the opt-out forms. There's a big pink button that says donate today.
Anybody listening, I hope you can open your wallets and help Mothers Against the Draft, because it's probably going to save you money in the long run, because this war is going to come back to us, and we will see it ourselves, and our children will see it with their own eyes. And so an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so if you can give to Mothers Against the Draft, I would encourage you to do so.
Scott, will you do all radio interviews with me?
Anytime.
You guys do work
or
very
do
well.
Or some training for me. What's the teacher?
Well, I don't
want to
steal your thunder. I think you've got it going on, and so I think you're doing a good job, a great job.
The moms of America need to know we are not powerless. I mean, we've got one congressman, and there are thousands of us in every district that absolutely do not want our children conscripted. And I'll tell you what, the last thing your congressman wants is bad local press. You think he wants it showing up in the local papers that he won't pledge not to conscript our kids? Absolutely he doesn't want that to happen.
And that's
so we're not powerless to stop this, ladies.
And what you say is proven by the 402-2 vote against Rangel's bill last time. It was an election year. And
30 days before the election.
They were very concerned about their image, so you're absolutely right, Debbie.
And, you know, people think that, oh, well, you know, government's so far gone now, none of us have any power, we can't really do anything. But that's not true. That's why they lie to us all
that's
day.
Right.
It's because they know that, I mean, in fact, this is why they leaked Valerie Plame's name to the press, right? Why Karl Rove, the felon, leaked Valerie Plame's name to the press. It was because they had to try to discredit her husband, who proved what liars they were. Now, they don't really care that we all know they lied about uranium from Niger now, but what they did care about very much was making Joe Wilson look as bad as possible while his story was first breaking the news.
Right.
And they're scared to death of us. And you know, Debbie, you are right on when you talk about, and in fact, this is, if you click on what you can do here on mothersagainstthedraft.org, the number one button there is let Congress know where you stand. And as you said, there's nothing more frightening to a congressman than having a pile of faxes and emails and messages on his answering machine that say, hi, I'm a mom and I'm with Mothers Against the Draft, and I just want to tell you that if you ever vote for draft, I'll make it my purpose in life to destroy you. There's nothing they are more frightened of than angry moms. My friends, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. We're wrapping up with Debbie Hopper from MothersAgainstTheDraft.org and Scott Kohlhaas. He's the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Alaska and the director of DraftResistance.org. And I have to tell you both, I know people right now who are already making plans to leave the country.
Well, that's one option that people will have. It's going to be very difficult if some draft legislation comes down. It looks like it's going to pass. Get a passport and get ready and get out before, because afterwards there's no getting out. But, of course, you know, earlier, Scott, you mentioned that there a lot of people feel there's nothing they can do anymore. And sometimes I feel that way, too. But that's exactly what we're asking people to do, is nothing. Do not lift a finger for the selective service system. You know, if you want to take the next step and talk to your friends and tell them not to register or toss selective service materials when you see them or call them on their 800 number and just, you know, leave them hanging, you know, great. But otherwise, just do nothing. But then I was also wondering, again, you know, not everybody's on that computer, Scott. Is there any way Debbie could give an address out for Mothers Against the Draft for people to send a contribution to?
That's 1611 F Street. Parks, Nevada, 89431. And our number, I'm sorry.
Wow, could you repeat that?
Sure. It's 1611 F Street, Parks, Nevada, 89431.
And anybody who missed that, the archive will be up on weekendinterviewshow.com.
Very good.
Did you say Sparks, Nevada, as in spark plugs?
Right, that's correct.
And was that F as in Frank, or?
F as in Frank.
Very good.
Scott, you better back off, or you're going to end up taking my show from me.
No, I'm going to call Scott and recruit him on our board as soon as we get off of this call.
He's interviewing my guests right out from under me. Let's see. Well, I was going to ask you guys about conscientious objector status and how hard it is to get, but probably don't have enough time for that. So let me go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted you, and you're trying to give out your phone number there, Debbie. So give that out, and then talk to me about joining MAD.
Okay. Our phone number is 775-356-9009. Again, that's 775-356-9009. As far as joining MAD's concerned, you can do that on our website. What we're looking for, what we're recruiting, is 100 mothers in every congressional district. It is the seed that will stop a draft or any form of mandatory national service. 100 moms in a congressional district can stare the tar out of their congressman. So if you're one of those moms that wants to stand with us and stop this nonsense before it goes any farther, please come to our website or give us a call. We've got work for you to do.
That's and I would great, just, my, I guess my last words would be, Debbie, you are awesome. Your group is awesome. And my final words to everyone else out there would be, don't register.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing about the moms there, I don't think can possibly be overemphasized, because as Mr. Kohlhaas pointed out, it's really the moms that decide whether the sons fill out that selective service form.
We are the soft underbelly for the neocons' interventionist policies. The mothers of America are the ones that can bring them down.
And absolutely, that was my next point, was that there's nobody scarier to a member of the House of Representatives than a stay-at-home mom with time on her hands to destroy his career.
That's
real. In fact, real quick, they tried to ban, there was a federal law that was going to basically ban homeschooling by requiring anyone who wanted to homeschool to have a teacher's certificate from their state. And the homeschool moms made some phone calls and some faxes, and it ended up being voted down, I think, 434-1 in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, they shut down the phone system.
Yep. And it was nothing but, that's all it was. It was moms writing letters saying, look, you can do this, but I just want you to know that I'm going to have nothing to do all day except destroy your career.
Well, you know that old saying, when mommy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. It's time to let your congressman know you're not happy, ladies.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to thank you both very, very much for your time today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. And Scott, I'm calling you.
Okay, Debbie.
All right, everybody. MothersAgainstTheDraft.org and DraftResistance.org. Talk to you next week.